So I'm talking about
tense. Tense.
History is here. Congratulations, you've made it. We've made it. My name is Mark Harmon. His name is Kevin Powell. Producer is Dan Long. Badass is here. And it's against all odds tonight.
Many doubted us, few believed in us, Carm.
It's true, right?
The odds were stacked against us, and we battled through.
Kevin and I did a show a ways back. The odds were, many people texted in, that we would never be back on the airwaves together. But here we are. And we want to actually, as we start the show tonight, and by the way, it doesn't feel like it's 2 in the morning. It feels like, I mean, honestly, it's like the middle of the day, Grand Central Station right now. That's how important I feel with this music going.
Absolutely. 100%.
Right.
People called us the second stringers, the one and duns. And here we are, Carm, again, back on the overnights, 2 to 5, WGN.
That's right. And we want to thank our loyal listeners, the people that have been texting in and writing to upper management, Jimmy DeCastro, Todd Manley, Stephanie Menendez, Dave Ennett, Steve Cochran.
I walked into Todd's office, and there was a stack of letters. I said, are those for me and Carm? He said, no, absolutely not. I haven't gotten one note about you guys. But then I said, well, how about that overnight shift, huh? He said, what overnight shift?
Friday.
I said, you know. Carm and I.
I talked to Bubala. He said he was off on a Friday.
I don't even think they know we're here. They think Bubala's on tonight.
Well, the bottom line is that we are here, and I'm serious, by the way. We do want to thank all of our loyal listeners, even the ones, all 100% of you, who did not write to management and say, get those guys back in.
That's right.
And if anybody can actually, we have a contest to start the show because that's what we do here. If anybody can actually write in, text in 312-981-7200 or call, you can do that too, 312-981-7200, amazingly the same phone number, and say when exactly we were on, that you remember the night and you remember a moment from the show, mm-hmm. You'll get Lou Malnati's because that it's history. Badass, I am very upset with you.
What did I do? Or what didn't I do?
Well, first
did
of all,
I ran out of stamps writing all those glowing letters about you guys.
Thank you, badass.
You're welcome.
Wait, what are we getting on his case about already?
Because Carm just likes getting on my case.
Oh, the shirt?
Yeah, listen.
Why?
We
I'm sorry, I outclassed you tonight? Well, what's going on?
No, clearly, I'm not in competition with you. We're on the same team. But here,
that's true.
Listen, what we did, and this was something that you could win on if you knew it, but now we're taking it away from you. But if you watch the show, Roger Badish, and we're changing the rules, by the way. When you do the news, since that's a professional thing, mm-hmm. You're Roger Badish. But when you're chiming in on the show, you're badass.
No because what would the show be without a badass?
Exactly right.
Driving in today, I said, please let the badass be there. Please let the badass be there. And I walk into the newsroom, who's there? The badass with his leather jacket.
You know how like the guys are after the football game? You know, the... after the Bears games,
yes,
right? They're not on anymore.
Are you comparing yourself to OB?
No. No.
OB?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
we're talking about
Badass Carm and Kev.
Right. I like
right?
it.
Right.
Well, listen, Badass. Here's the thing.
Well, is it Carm and Kev with Badass?
With
you know,
Badass.
Because it's
Ham
OB with
yeah.
Kaz.
Yeah. I'm third stringer.
Yeah. Yeah. We decided in our first show that you're not title name worthy, but you're a part of the show.
Okay.
We love you. Don't yeah, don't take that the wrong way.
I know.
So here's the thing. If you're Badass, you can't wear a pink shirt. I mean, how
but I'm a badass to
well,
be able to wear it.
But it's the alter
See?
Ego thing. When he's at the news anchor desk, he wears the pink shirt. But when I walked into the newsroom, he had a leather jacket on.
Yeah.
You know, he drove his Harley in. So
and
when he bounces
boots.
from his news desk to, you know, the other area of the newsroom, he bounces back and forth.
I had a baseball bat ready to beat people.
I mean, that voice is just, it's so good. And the reason, by the way, we call it, we're trying to change Roger's name, and we know that he loves WGN and he loves being on the show, but if his name had always been Roger Badass, we here, Kevin, KP, and yours truly, Mark Carmen, believe that Badass would have been on, you'd be, if you were Roger Badass, you'd be on the nightly news. You'd be 5:30
oh,
every
anchoring,
night.
Anchoring it?
Yeah, there'd be no Lester Holt, there'd be no Brian Williams, don't want to, you know, invoke names of the past. But,
or he'd be like a shock jock. You know, just screaming on the airwaves, something like that. But you would be extremely famous if your name was Roger Badass.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Well, actually, I did have to change it to the more professional Badish. It was Badass.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's a learning thing. 773, that's funny. 312-981-7200 from the text line. 224 texted in, KP, December 23rd with 7 exclamation points, which was wrong. and then proceeds to give the date, December the 26th, at 224.
That's a loyal listener right there. They just won themselves a $25 gift card at Lou
Malnati's.
Wow,
look at that.
1-800-LOU to go, loumalnati's.com.
I mean, that's we love you at the 224. Honestly, we're going to call you in the break. Just can we? Is it wrong to call people?
Put them on the air?
So, well,
why not?
Well, what I used to do back in the day, when people would text mean things to me on the text line, I would just call them up on the air. Like, dude, you're going to bring that stuff on the text line? I'll go straight on the phone and get at you.
That's awesome.
Don't bring that weak junk.
So the 815 texted in Saturday, summer. You're late, 815. I apologize. But he said, okay, yeah, it was me who said you guys are the one and done. Because we had, like, again, we had opened up the text line for names for the show.
Right, yeah.
Now, I think we do this again, Carm. Because we're back. We battled through it. No pain, no gain. Here we are. If you've got a name for the Carm and KP show with the badass,
there you go.
If you've got any ideas, text it in, 312-981-7200.
Yes, and we will pick the best one, and we will give another Lou Malnati's 1-800. Is 1-800-LOU to go?
Do we have Lou Malnati's gift cards to give away?
Sure we do.
Apparently now.
Now we do.
I mean, I'll talk to Sarah Thiemann.
Dan's sending emails right now. He's like, what happened? We don't even have a prize sheet.
I'm looking for a prize sheet in my email right now.
I got the beat later today. We'll steal one from over there.
That works.
I mean, is that legal? I don't know if that's legal, but I'm going to make that legal. I'm going to make that executive decision here at 2:16 in the morning. All right, there's a lot going on. And we have a very, very important subject to discuss coming back here, because there's a crisis going on, and KP and I actually are going to need your help on this one, too, because we're not exactly sure why.
Mm-hmm.
You nervous about this? I think Kevin Powell is actually...
Nervous about the segment we're going to do, or nervous about what's actually happening within this story?
No, the segment, exactly. I'd forget about the...
No, I'm not nervous about it.
Okay, good.
All right.
Well, we need you to help us.
We will need the badass's help, though, so don't go anywhere, badass.
Yeah, I ain't going nowhere.
This is going to be good. It's been a rough start to the year, and many of us are feeling the pain, and we're going to talk about that next. 312-981-7200. We'll figure out the name of the show as well. 720 WGN. WGN, we are your overnight extravaganza, if you will. I'm Mark Carmody, Kevin Powell, MC and KP, producer Dan Long, badass handling the news.
I got a text for you from the 815.
Oh my God, badass is reading texts. Go ahead, badass.
Yeah, I can't help it. They texted. They're just both jealous that you chose to wear a pink shirt.
I don't see that anywhere in our text line, Roger.
Looking at it right here. The 81 tell them 815 area code says they're both just jealous that you chose to wear a pink shirt.
I like the pink shirt, badass. That was Carmen giving you.
Yeah, no, that's
crap. You know what? He's going to ask me where I got it when it starts getting warmer out. And he decides to get the golf clubs out and start hitting a few.
I would just like to say we have the best listeners at this radio station.
Oh, cool.
They're already firing away at the text line, 312-981-7200. We're asking for a name for this show. Many doubted us. Carm and I never gave up hope, and we're back on the air. Second show, 630 text, and I listen to your show religiously, so about twice a year.
Our guy, or our lady, we love you. And, hey, there could be... a third spin in 2016, and actually it would only be the second spin in 2016, because as we have detailed, the first time we were on was December the 26th, 2015. Okay, we got a major issue here, KP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
It's been a rough year to start the market.
Yep.
I know that I'm heavily invested. I've got major, major equity in the market. All 28 bucks that I have is like, I'm down to about 16 now.
Mm-hmm.
The stock market rout has destroyed 2.3 trillion from the market's top last year. 2.3 trillion. I mean, that's more than a trillion is more than a billion.
Yes.
I mean, that's unbelievable. 2.3 trillion, 1.5 trillion in net wealth just this year. Companies like Apple, Oracle, Walmart, Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, Warren Buffett has lost $2.3 billion of his net worth, which I'm sure he still probably can.
Yeah, it's chump change for him.
Right. He can still go out and have a nice Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
But we would like the reasons as to why the market is crashing. Because, Kevin, KP, do you have any idea what's going on here? Because I know there's the theories.
All I know is oil is sinking. in terms of price, and China is messing with the economy. Badass, can you give us any insight on this?
Oil in China, Badass, what do you got?
Well, the drop in the oil prices is wreaking havoc with the world's economy.
What's a barrel going, $30? Less than that, right?
I think it's a little less than that now, yeah. And so while that area of the world, the Middle East, the major oil-producing countries, members of OPEC, have been swimming in cash for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Now they're not swimming so much. In fact, you heard about the demise of Al Jazeera America the other day. Mm-hmm. That's because the government of Qatar owns the overall organization of Al Jazeera, the news organization, and they have started to close bureaus because they're not making as much money from the oil, and the news organization has been a cash-losing entity for a while. So they've had to close them. So,
see, all those seem like perhaps real reasons. I don't believe that that's actually what's going on.
It is what's going on. If you read the reports for the past week about what the price of oil is doing, I mean, it's looking great for us because it's dropping the price of gas at the pump.
Right.
So, we see that and we go, oh, everything's cool.
Yeah, but
it's not. It's the rest of the world that is starting to suffer because of the income that used to come in from the oil. And now China is also, their economy is tanking because the cost of goods is dropping.
Let me ask you a question, Badass. Are you invested in the market?
Not at all. Well, indirectly, yes. My pension.
Okay.
Yeah, my pension.
Did you pull your money out of your pension?
No.
You didn't?
No.
But
because the pension is strong.
But you're speaking very intelligently right now about what's going on. Yes.
Well, because I follow it.
All right. So the Badass actually knows what's going on. And as usual, our news department is on top of things and giving you actual reasons and facts on what's going on. Now, Carm and I are going to screw this up. We're going to ask.
Yeah, Badass, you're missing the point.
We're gonna ask the texters again. We're asking for a lot of the text line. I apologize here. But we want reasons.
Yeah,
real reasons or?
Or complete.
Somewhat made up.
Ridiculous, outrageous reasons and why. One reason, one theory, Screech from Saved by the Bell.
He's back in jail.
Back in jail today.
That's what I'm talking about. Another reason could be Sean Penn getting El Chapo.
El Chapo goes down.
And saying that that ruined his entire magazine story.
Right, and it's going to be on. He's going to be on 60 Minutes. He's sitting down with Charlie Rose. It's going to be, I mean, I've seen a snippet. It's a big-time deal.
Donald Trump's rally song.
Yes.
That could be a potential reason to the market decline.
With the cheerleaders.
Yeah. With the cheerleaders.
Right, Badass, enough with the real reasons here.
I was trying to take the focus off of the real reasons by giving you outlandish reasons.
No, that's why we wanted to go to you, establish, as usual, keep the credibility at 720 WGN, let everyone know that we actually know what's going on. Now, you, the listener, tell us why the market is plunging.
Right. I mean, I was... It was the other morning with Steve Grzanich, and he had a guest on, and he was talking about the market, and his analysis was that we're going to be flat this year, up, down, and around. It's going to be very volatile, but we're going to be flat.
Right.
And I got all fired up. I mean, everybody would sign up for a flat right now, right? I mean, normally, you know, you like a little curve, but you definitely would take a flat.
Yeah, I prefer the curves. I don't know if that's good for the market or not, but I like the curve.
Well, it depends which way it's curving.
Hey, 630, Badass bought a pink shirt. There goes the economy. Come on, Badass.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Real reasons why the economy is going down, 312-981-7200.
You got to see the blue one.
I mean, it could be as simple as, like, your wife... you know, didn't make the chicken parmesan the way
there
she wants. You know, it can be.
Right.
You know,
she baked it instead of actually frying it in the pan. You know, save a few calories.
We're looking for creativity and not actually, you know, the badass. You know, Al Jazeera and oil reasons.
I made that up anyway. Yeah. You know that.
Well, because nobody actually really, like, no one, everybody, after the fact, it's the best thing with the market. After the fact, the reason why the market's going down is because,
it wasn't after the fact. Those were the predictions that were coming out before the market started changing.
Well, I kept hearing correction, right? Isn't that what we kept hearing, the term being floated around, Roger?
No, it's not a correction because it's been up and down and up and down since the beginning of the year.
Anything, Roger,
even though it's still majorly
anything.
Down now,
but
it's going to recover.
Badass, when the market goes up 400 points on Monday, what's the reason going to be?
On Monday?
You burnt the pink shirt?
Yeah.
I burnt the pink.
Because when the market rallies, well, we knew it was going to rally because there, you know, the electricity boom in Egypt was, I mean, like, listen, if people really knew, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? If people were so smart on the market, that's one of the greatest jobs ever. That and a weatherman.
Because you're making predictions. Yeah.
But it's
based on fact. If you're hedging your investments on things like how many cars will be sold, how many homes will be sold, how many mortgages will be taken out, people have been doing this for decades and decades, longer than you and I have been around,
right.
They're able to make these very knowledgeable predictions.
Right, like Warren Buffett is a very smart man who just lost $2.3 billion.
Yeah, but like you said, it's a drop in a bucket for him.
Yeah,
but he's going to make that back on Monday and then some, and then he's going to look at you and laugh and go, ha, ha, ha.
Okay, we got to throw some cold water on Baddish.
By the way, I got a name from the 815 again for you for the show. It's Marker Man and K-Pow.
Not bad. All right. Roger, you calm down. We're going to talk to the listeners right now. 312-981-7200. Debatable. Let's get Ann in Chicago. Reasons for the market collapse, please, on 720 WGN. On the what is our name? What's the name of the show?
Two Dopes and a Badass.
Two Dopes and a Badass. Go ahead. What's up, Ann?
You were right. It's the economic engine of the world is drug trafficking. China has heroin through Mexico, through Chicago. To Europe, they all stop. Joaquin Chopra is caught, I guess.
So and, we can all agree it's Sean Penn's fault.
No, it's not Sean Penn's, but it's the government's. They're in on it. The drug trafficking. That Cook County, most of the wards depend on marijuana. We legalize marijuana. People can't sell it. It's all drugs. So
you would like to see it all legalized, marijuana?
No, I would not. Because,
oh, you're not.
Not because. That's what's happening. People are on welfare, but they all they subsidize their money with drugs, selling marijuana. When that's out, well, they have no money.
Yeah, but Ann, so, if we made it marijuana legal, we could tax it, and there could be all this, you know, all this dough rolling around. What about that idea?
No, they won't pay it. They won't pay it legal, and they won't tax it. And the people all in Costa Rica and all these Ecuador, these children are coming here because their parents worked on the marijuana fields, the cocaine fields, and so they're out of jobs, so their kids are starving, so they send them here.
And you ever seen the movie American Gangster?
No.
Okay, it's a good one. We appreciate it. You should check it out. It's an outstanding film. I don't know how I got to American Gangster.
Yeah, where did that come from? I would have thought.
Well, because Denzel went across to Vietnam and was going to the fields and getting it straight from, and then he's bringing that heroin right over.
I was thinking more of like Blow with Johnny Depp.
And that's another good one.
Classic.
There's a rough ending for Depp though in that one. All right, here. Reasons why the market's crashing. We'll do a couple calls after the news. 312-981-7200 and kept it real in a very disturbing way. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We got a new name for the show from the 563. The baddest badass show with a bad and badder.
Love it.
Who's bad and who's badder? I'm going to say that I'm badder and you're bad.
Yeah, that's accurate. And Roger obviously is the baddest badass.
There's no doubt. 720 WGN. Our real names are, my name is Mark Carmen. You are Kevin Powell. You hear KP, of course, on the Steve Cochran Show. I am a host of The Beat. We'll be on later today, 3 o'clock, and then some Northwestern Hoop tomorrow night. Go Cats. Big game with Penn State. Cats are 3-2 in the Big Ten for the first time since...
It's got to be 10 years or something like that.
More than that. 1967-68 season. 3-2!
They'll be Penn State, right?
I would hope. Yeah. I would absolutely hope. All right, so we're trying to figure out what's going on in the market. Why are we down 7 gazillion points to start the year? Badass gave us the real reasons, or what people think are the real reasons. We're actually looking for the more in-depth breakdown.
Yes, Roger gave us the
oil
the download,
and Al Jazeera,
right, of why the markets are tanking right now. But we're asking you, the listener, in your own words, why is the market plunging right now?
Right, and your reason, KP, was what? What was your number?
I just threw it out there. I said potentially the Donald Trump new jam, his what would you call it, rallying song.
Yes,
that's a potential screech. From Saved by the Yell in prison right now.
Right, and I went with El Chapo and Sean Penn, and 60 Minutes piece that Penn's going to be on. We're, by the way, we're going to play the Trump song coming up at 3 o'clock.
Oh, do you have to?
We do. We're actually very excited about it, Badass. Hey, listen, if you don't like the song, that's a fair take.
I already burning a hole in my computer as we speak.
That's right. We're fired up to do it. So, like, hey, should have been in on the programming meeting. You were not there, Badass.
I was busy before.
He was busy being a badass, man.
Patty and the crew.
Excuses are like, I'm not going to say that on the air. Everyone has one. All right, 312-981-7200. Jack in a car, or in his car, I probably should say, on 720W.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jack.
So check this, man. Every day this week, someone, you know, like some sort of celebrity has died. Like, look at that. You lost Bowie. Mm-hmm. You lost Alan Rickman. That was tough.
Hans Gruber.
Die Hard. Oh, my goodness. You lost Celine Dion's husband. I know you're tore up about that, right? You know?
I am.
Whatever his name is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever his name is, exactly. Yes. People are dying. So Jack's theory is people are dying.
More specifically,
celebrities are dying and the market is tanking. All right, Jack, we appreciate the call. That is a legitimate theory, in my opinion.
Was there any further depth to that, Jack? I feel like there is. Well, go ahead.
Well, check this, man. Give me a picture of Justin Bieber.
Jack, we love you.
See you, Jack. Oh, boy.
Hey. Well, listen.
Where was he going there? I don't even.
You were right to... Snip.
I tried to move on, and you had to keep interviewing the caller.
Well, I thought, Carm. I thought he was going to get somewhere good, and then he just didn't. But it was. I still love Jack, and he gave it a grand effort on the Bad and Badass show.
the look on your face when his last comment. Classic. Quick text, 312. Reason the market is tanked. Two words, China farted. That's essentially what Roger said earlier.
Yeah. That's like a real reason. Hey, by the way, did you know that I went to China this year, KP?
Yeah?
I was down, I touched down in Shanghai for 5 days. You ever been to Shanghai?
I've never been to Shanghai, but maybe this has something to do with it.
Could be.
Wow.
I mean, when I was over there,
Did you mess with the timeline?
Did I mess with the timeline?
Well, you know, there's multiple timelines in the world.
What?
And if you went to China and did something you shouldn't have done or didn't do something you should have done...
I didn't go in.
You could have messed up the timeline. We would not have this tanking of the stock market and the economy right now.
Badass, if you're accusing me of going into a reputable massage parlor and then finding out
I'm not saying anything in particular. I'm just saying
you either did
something you shouldn't have done or you didn't do something you should have done.
He was just five days
in China. That's all I'm saying.
No comment.
He was just looking for a good time. 708 says, OMG, everyone knows Orion Samuelson controls the world markets and he makes them do whatever the heck he wants.
It's true.
He's got the power. I don't doubt that.
It's absolutely true. Orion is the man. The big O. 312-981-7200. Why is the market tanking? Tom in Madison on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Picking you guys up loud and clear up here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Love it.
Northwestern beat your ass, Tom.
Hey, go for it. I get Minneapolis, I get Madison, I get Rockford, I get Milwaukee, but you guys kick ass.
Tom, you're the man. Thanks for listening.
That's why I listen to WGN.
That's a promo right there. I'm sending that to Chris.
First of all, I have a sizable chunk of Berkshire Hathaway stock, and Warren Buffett only lost about 3% of his net worth in this little downturn.
Uh-huh.
And you guys probably know that about 85 to 90% of market trades are all computer driven.
Yeah, we knew that.
They're not driven by people, you know.
What do you mean, man? Worrying about their
pensions and stuff. What's happened is that the New York bankers are floating about 60. Well, actually, it's about 10 times that, but about $60 trillion of junk.
Junk bonds?
Well, we could call them that. unsecured bets.
Unsecured debt. Tom, are you a financial analyst? Are you an investment banker? What's your credentials, sir?
Well, I have several degrees, none of them in finance, but...
what are your degrees in, Tom?
Economics.
Mm-hmm. That counts. What else you got? You got a psychology degree over there, too?
Well, actually, yeah. How did you guess that?
Because I'm a genius, Tom. I can feel you. I can see you. I can smell what you're cooking.
Tom, we have multiple listeners.
What's happening here? You'd think that low gas prices would stimulate the U.S. economy because everybody has more money to spend, right?
That's right, Tom. That's what people have been telling me.
And people think, well, China's manipulating currency, so all the rest of the world sneezes. But that's not what's happening.
What's happening?
What's happening is the insiders know that all this junk crap that the four largest banks have been floating around the world is about to crash.
Oh,
oh boy!
And that sounds bad.
Is this kind of like the big short? Where the home mortgages is doing, that along the same lines?
We're doing movies later, badass.
Hey, listen to him; he's talking the truth.
They're doing the same thing. They didn't learn their lessons. We should never have repealed Glass-Steagall. And I'm telling you guys, the God's honest truth. And yes, I do have a big chunk of Berkshire Hathaway, and I'll keep listening to you guys.
Thanks, Tom. You're the best.
Tom, you're the man.
Tom, we appreciate the thought and theory, and you may very well be correct, but we have a couple listeners that, they have differing thoughts. The 708 believes that it's because Leo gave Gaga the side eye at the Golden Globes.
That was a weird look.
So sure, Tom sounded valid, but that sounds legit to me. 630 texts in, says people were taking their money out of the market to buy Wednesday's Powerball tickets, figuring it's a safer bet.
I like that one. I also like the 414. Markets are crashing because you can't get a decent mango anymore. Like, when you can't get a decent mango,
why spend money?
Well, right. And your whole breakfast routine is messed up because it's great to start your day with a good fruit. Mm-hmm. And if you're into mango.
I love mangoes.
Right. And then you're in a bad mood all day because you can't get a good mango.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do you move forward with your life?
Well,
and the next thing you know, you're not spending anything and you're in a state of depression and it's over.
630 says the economy's crashing because Huey Lewis in the News, not yet in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That seems legit.
Oh, I never thought of that.
You really think that Huey Lou deserves a Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Props?
Are you kidding?
Badass.
Major hits, one what? Right after the other.
What's Huey Lewis's best hit?
Heart of Rock and Roll?
No,
what do you think?
The Back to the Future song.
Going Back in Time.
Back in Time.
Yeah.
Classic. We'll play that coming out of the break.
Because it had the movie backing it up, too. It was in the movie. So you had more exposure for that one.
Badass, can we ship you to 1955?
I'd be very young if we went back there.
I think that's a great era for you. You're like, you're, as much as we love having you now,
I know.
I think you were better in the 50s. Like, you know, you walk in,
could have been,
get a little Diet Pepsi, the whole deal. All right, 312-981-7200. We do want to talk about one of the huge stories that has happened, a TV star gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
KP's a little upset about it because he is one of his heroes, and we'll keep on throwing.
I wouldn't go that far.
But... You wouldn't go that far?
No.
Well, we'll see how far you'll go next. 720 WGN. There he is, Huey Lewis.
Jam.
On cue. That's what we do on the Bad and Badder show.
Bad, Badder, Baddest. Yeah, keep those texts coming, by the way. 312-981-7200 if you got a name for this. We've got two dopes and a badass. Bad, Badder, and Baddest coming in.
It's the second annual show, KP and Carm.
Mm-hmm. WGN special. Carm and KP with the badass.
When people are off on overnights, we want to be the premier destination. I mean, when Matt Bubala, this is normally his slot on a Friday overnight into a Saturday, we want to be able to move into that slot. When a Nick DiGiulio takes off, we want to be able to come in there and say, hey.
Right.
And then just let you go right into the Steve Cochran extravaganza, or you can maybe get a day off there.
That would be tough. That would be tough, but I'm down, Carm. I'll battle through for you. Well, let's just finish up these texts real quick, asking the listeners why the market's plunging. Let's see here. 219, tanking because I took my wife's credit cards away from her.
That's a good strategy by you, sir. Well done.
Let's see here.
Although,
all right, that's about it from now. Let's move on to the next.
You don't like the one? What,
did I miss it?
Well, there's one from the 414 that I enjoy. The market is tanking because there's nothing but nut jobs and lunatics out there. So I mean, I sort of feel like
lunatics running for president.
Oh, it's a continued
triggering a financial cascade and assorted booze industry. I don't know. He might be drinking 414. That's a little scattered.
It's all right. Up in Milwaukee. I mean, come on. What else would you be doing at 2:50 in the morning on 720 WGN? Respect to Milwaukee. Love that town. Go Brewers.
Two white dudes and a badass from 815.
We are white, but badass is white, too. So that's three of us. Don't have a lot of diversity on this show. I mean, I guess.
Just four white guys. That's it.
We're lacking diversity. That could be one of our problems as far as continuing this extravaganza going forward. What do you think, Dan? You look like you've got thoughts on this because you're white, too.
It is true. I am white.
It's four white guys.
Four I'm white a man guys for all the people.
That's right.
Well, we're all for all the people, badass. So settle down up there.
Yeah, but I'm the badass.
Well, that's true. You are. All right, so. Big news in the entertainment world, KP.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this.
What?
That is just high-quality producing.
Yeah. One of the great shows of all time, Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond, a.k.a. Screech, who looks more like a badass nowadays than he looks like Screech. I mean, he's officially an inmate, turned himself into a Wisconsin jail last night. He reported to the Ozaukee, Ozaukee County Jail, one of the great jails.
Just spell it and let them figure it out.
What a phenomenal jail, the Ozaukee County Jail. If I ever have to go to jail, which, by the way, I'm going to tell my story of when I went to jail, coming up in a matter of moments here, so don't go anywhere. To serve out a four-month sentence, Diamond convicted back in May for stabbing a man in a bar. Shouldn't be joking about those things, but I feel like you can do that at 2:52 a.m. Good morning, by the way. On Christmas of 2014, lucky for Dustin, the judge only hit him with two misdemeanors and dropped the far more serious felonies. I mean, that could be attempted murder right there for good old Dustin Diamond.
Our first show was the 1 year anniversary of the Dustin Diamond stabbing.
I mean, I don't things in life that you don't recommend: going to a bar with a knife, getting drunk, and then reaching in your pocket and going Dustin Diamond. Now in jail for 4 months. This is a child actor gone bad here. I mean, this guy was the quintessential nerd.
Now, I mean, the guy had to have been. I mean, he's wrong no matter what. But don't you think that when he goes to bars, that there's always a guy at the bar yelling Screech at him? You know, or singing the Save by, putting on the jukebox the Save by the Bell theme song, something like that? You think that sparked it at all or had anything to do with it?
Well, I thought I read where something about the girl he was with. Someone was bad-mouthing the girl he was with or tried to grab her or something.
Now, badass, you're a badass. So yeah. if you're at a bar, yeah. How do you handle bar fights and, you know, diffusing the situation? Again, since you are the badass.
Usually baseball bat and taser.
So you carry a baseball bat, too. You keep that in your car, or you bring that into the bar?
I'll go out when I start sensing things are going to start getting out of hand, and I'll just nonchalantly go out to the car, grab it, and then come on back in nonchalantly, being real cool, even though I'm a badass, and then just waiting for the action to start happening, and I go nuts. I go postal.
Good strategy. Have you ever been in a bar fight yourself there, KP, as badass as telling me a story that I don't believe?
One time, one bar fight in my career.
How old were you?
College, so I was probably 21.
What happened? Come on, tell it.
He doesn't remember yet.
No, I'm right away.
Oh, no, he remembers.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, look, anybody who's ever in a bar fight and you ask them what happens, right, it's never their fault, right? So I'm going to tell this story, and no matter what I say, people are still going to think I was being an idiot or drunk or whatever.
Listen, you tell the story. I'm going to tell you in advance. No matter what you say, I'm on your side.
Ah, thanks, Carm. Appreciate that.
No, listen, I got to have your back. We're
a team. Two dopes and a badass.
That's what I'm talking about.
Down at ISU, Fear the Bird, Red Bird Nation. We're out at the bars, hitting the bars downtown. I've got some friends visiting. And anytime my friends visited ISU, it was out of control. Because for them, it was like a little, wow, we got away from the suburbs and our parents' house. Like, let's go party at their apartments. So it was always out of control. So we're at this bar, and one of my idiot friends is starting trouble. So I walk over. I try to defuse the situation. Okay?
Mature, 21-year-old KP.
This was fairly early in the night, so I wasn't drunk or anything like that.
And if you go back to our original show on December the 26th, KP did tell us that when he was in high school, he had a little bit of a temper. And maybe you told me that off the air, actually. But
yeah,
I'm gonna make it out like it was actually on the air. And now he's like the most relaxed guy ever, so it's an amazing transformation. You've done a great job with your life. Continue on.
Thank you, Carmen. So I go to defuse the situation.
Defusal?
Go to defuse the situation, all right? It's my one idiot friend, and he's, I don't know, something stupid. Is there ever a good reason for a bar friend?
Never.
No. So at the time, I had a girlfriend. My girlfriend walks up to the situation trying to defuse the situation.
Double defusal.
She inadvertently gets pushed.
Uh-oh. Now what, 0 to 100?
0 to 100.
0 to 2,000. Go ahead. So now your girlfriend's pushed. You were about to defuse. Now,
so then at that point, it just broke out. Fights, you know, fists going, whatnot.
Did you get hit?
No, I didn't get hit, but I got tackled. And like, as the guy I was basically fighting, as I was tackling, he also got hit. So like, we were falling with eyes locked together to the disgusting bar floor. And then it kind of just broke off. So, but there
bouncers.
Bouncers, yeah, and we just got out of there. So.
No officers of the law. Fear of the bird.
It up. The defuse worked sort of. It could have been worse.
If you saw the dude now, would you recognize him?
No.
Okay. Well, that's not that bad.
No. Like I said, it wasn't nothing huge. I mean, there was some fist thrown, a couple punches, a couple kicks.
And listen, you know, your girl got pushed, and you wanted to show that you were a man.
That's right.
It's not the best choice, but I understand
it. As Steve Cochran says, when you're with a woman, you're basically the Secret Service. You do whatever it takes to protect the woman.
What was Cochran's take about Jason Day?
That's how it came up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Look at that transition.
Right. Jason Day was sitting in the front row at a Cleveland Cavaliers game. If people missed the story, Jason Day was sitting in the front row on the court at a Cleveland Cavaliers game, and LeBron James comes running off the court. Probably everybody knows this, but somebody doesn't, so that's why I'm saying it. LeBron James comes running to get the basketball as it's going out of bounds. Day darts to the left. His girlfriend... slash wife, wife?
Girl. Married, yeah.
Married, yeah, his wife, gets just plowed by...
a large man.
By LeBron, where, you know, if you're the guy there, you got to get in front of LeBron, protect your wife. She gets carried off with a neck brace and the whole thing, stretcher, the whole deal. And then people are saying, well, Day reacted the way he should have reacted. No, you protect your wife, just like KP did in the bar brawl.
That's right.
And that wasn't even your wife. That was a college girlfriend.
Yeah.
You did date her for a long time.
Dated for a really long time, yeah. Carl. A little more than a college girlfriend. But anyways, yes, that was Cochran's sentiment towards it. You protect the woman. And Jason Day tried to get out of the way while his wife was getting destroyed by a 6'6", 270-pound man, you know, like a freight train coming at you. So, yeah, I gave him some crap for that.
Well, so see, right, you stepped up and you did, you know, for a college kid, I think that was all right. You want to hear my one and only brawl? That
yes.
wasn't a brawl
was
at
this
all.
In Hawkeye country?
This was in actually... this was down in Atlanta.
Hotline.
Cubs Braves went down to see a series for the weekend, right? We're out at establishment after the game, and a couple people from Boston are in town as well. So they're rapping, you're wearing the Red Sox hat. I got my Cubs floppy on, type of look back in the day.
Right.
And so I go up to the guy. I'm like, you know, he started talking baseball. And I'm like, well, we're in this together, man. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, Cubs and the Red Sox were in this together. This was before this was like 2002.
Okay.
You know, the Red Sox hadn't won a World Series. And he's like, no, we're not in this together. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, we're not the Cubs, man. You know, we've been to the World Series. We're not that. I'm like, dude, until you win it, you're right there with the Chicago Cubs.
Uh-huh.
You can go every single year, but until you win it, until you raise the break the curse of the Bambino. Sorry, buddy. You're right there with Wrigley Field. So then it starts getting more and more heated, and I was like, you know what? Can I say the letter A, B, C, D, E, the one that comes after that? I said that letter, F, I can say F, right? I said F, the Red Sox, and Larry Bird.
Oh.
And
Oh, dude, you incited a riot.
I went right for the jugular.
Oh, man.
Sounds like you were sort of the instigator.
Oh,
yeah, he was.
And he clenched the fist. And
you got pummeled.
And my buddy like jumped right in there. I was like, hey. And yeah. I'm like, dude. And that was it. So it wasn't really a fight, but that was the closest I've ever been.
Gotcha.
I had to put it, you can't be saying you're not with the Cubs when you were with the Cubs. No, you're not with the Cubs. They won 3 World Series.
That seems like a legitimate reason to choke somebody. Is for someone disagreeing that their favorite baseball team is not similar to your favorite baseball team. That seems legitimate to me.
I thought it was. Do we have to take a quick break before news? We do. 30 seconds, and then Badass has the news. 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Still taking texts for the name of the show. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. With you till 5 a.m. Show flying along here, at least for us. Hopefully it's at least moderately moving for you. Kicking ass with two guys and a badass from the 630. You should call the show Three Asses, Just One Bad from the 574. Where's the 574?
Whoa.
574.
Don't be offended up there, badass.
I'm not.
574, is that Iowa? Feels like Iowa.
South Bend. North Central Indiana.
Go Irish. You ever been to Notre Dame?
I have. I went to a game when I was in high school. My dad took me, and I was a Notre Dame fan for a while. Because of the game I went to, they beat Navy with a game-winning field goal. I think Brady Quinn may have been the quarterback at the time. But it was an awesome experience. Notre Dame games are fun.
Never been to a football game, been to basketball. Actually called a hoop game there, St. Edward's University, who I used to be the voice of the Hilltoppers.
You were the voice of St. Edward's University?
I was the voice of the Hilltoppers, buddy.
Damn.
Straight out of Austin, Texas. D2 hoop.
Look at you.
That's what I'm talking about,
Mr.
badass.
Mr. Big.
Well, it got me back in the game back in the day, 2005.
Carm's just name dropping over here.
Oh, yeah.
St. Edward's University.
You know, then I begged David Kaplan to hire me, and he did.
You're still begging him. What?
Easy, badass.
Oh. Badass.
I'm a badass. What do you
coming.
Want?
Badass?
He's fired up up there.
People should learn, and I'm sure Badass's wife knows this. Give Badass an inch, and he will take 3 miles. It is a problem. All right. We're wrapping up the Screech Gone Bad child stars that have hit the skids, KP. I know you've got some. You got a couple.
Quick ones. I don't even know who some of these people are. Marcus T. Polk, the actor, played Brandy's little brother Miles on the UPN's. Remember UPN sitcom Moesha.
Never watched Moesha.
He received a DUI. Jake Lloyd, he played Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 1.
Oh, I've heard he's really gone down.
He was arrested for reckless driving after going more than 100 on Interstate 95, later crashing into trees.
Bad move, dude.
Bad move, Jake Floyd. I don't even know some of these names
here. Say them. I'll see if I remember them. Because I'm sure they're older.
Okay, cause... Edward Furlong.
Yeah.
Played John Connor, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Known for his behavior off the set, he was arrested in 2009 for allegedly threatening and punching his wife. He was later arrested in 2012 on more domestic violent charges filed by a female friend. Class act, Edward Furlong.
Really?
And then Jamie Waylett, he was in one of the Harry Potter movies. He was the bigger kid, the troublemaker. He was arrested for participating in riots in England in 2011.
Participating in what?
Riots. The 2011 riots. England riots. Okay. Do you recall those, badass?
You said rockets.
Riots.
Riots.
Do you recall the 2011 England riots?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I got my taser out for that one.
All right, thanks, badass. So, yeah, those are some of the childhood movie stars, TV stars gone bad.
How about, can I just give one little Cindy Brady moment?
Sure.
And I know that it's a little bit awkward to throw Cindy out of there out of nowhere, but you know, and this is a little bit ago, but she was asked about the Brady Bunch, about child actors gone bad. She was asked about who hooked up with whom on the show.
Oh, yeah, apparently it was just like an orgy on the set.
Yeah,
right?
It was an orgy on the Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she said, I think all of us did. We led a sheltered life for part of the year, so if there's anybody to get a crush on to try dates, it would be our counterparts. The whole Brady Bunch was getting it on.
Good for them.
Which is just amazing.
Even Alice?
Alice was getting it on with the butcher.
Alice and the butcher were knocking the boots. Little naked pretzel of Alice after she got some sliced turkey.
All right, check out this radio transition.
I didn't know that until recently, that the Brady Bunch was...
Yeah.
The land of the love. If that makes any sense. God bless the Brady Bunch. Great show. Go ahead, KP.
Check out this professional radio transition. Are you ready?
I am.
The USA Freedom Kids.
Oh.
All right. These are the three girls aged between 9 and 11. Again, part of the USA Freedom Kids. They sang an ode to Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump at the start of his campaign rally down in Pensacola. Thanks, Carm.
No problem.
Pensacola, Florida, before one of his rallies. Now, we have this. Have you guys heard this song, Carm?
Yeah, they were lip syncing, too.
Well, they were up on stage dressed in these patriotic, like, cheerleading outfits, singing this song.
See, why does Badass have to throw in the lip syncing?
Let it develop for radio reasons, for the cause.
Let a young Trump supporter support Trump.
All right. They're age 8 to 11. Again, the USA Freedom Kids. Dan, fire it up. Let's listen to it.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom rings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA.
Yay!
Enemy.
That's the line of the song.
So good.
Over here.
USA.
Over there.
USA.
Freedom and liberty everywhere. Oh, say, can you see? It's not so easy. But we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
Yeah.
USA.
USA.
The stars and stripes are flying. Let's celebrate our freedom. Inspire proudly freedom to the world.
Ameritude.
USA. American pride.
USA.
It's attitude. It's who we are. Stand up tall. We're the red, white, and blue. Fiercely free. That's who. Our colors don't run a
There it is.
All right, that's one of the worst songs ever made.
I kind of like it.
And
rocking the beat, baby.
That's enough, Dan. We've tortured them enough. All right, Jeff Popick is the father of one of the girls involved with this trio.
Mr. Popick?
The USA Freedom Kids. He had this to say. Well, first of all, he says, to me, freedom is everything. That's what this group is about. That's what I'm about. Freedom for everybody. That's the inspiration of these 8, 9, and 10-year-old little girls. And he also had this.
Oh, it's so good. What's his name? Popick?
Popick.
The Popick.
Classic Popick. When you're dealing when you're dealing with kids, there are all kinds of issues. There are family issues. Parents have agendas. All right, Kettle. There's soccer and on and on and on. This really required a meaningful commitment. We went through several girls. All right. This line, there's soccer and on and on and on. Like, he's annoyed at the kids being kids, playing soccer, having fun, doing kids things. He says, no. You guys are the USA Freedom Kids. You represent the good old red, white, and blue. We're putting together a phenomenal band, and we're going to represent Donald Trump.
I'm wondering if this makes people, the Trump supporters out there, does this just get you even more involved with Donald, that he's rolled out some fine young ladies singing or allegedly singing a song that words like deal from strength or get crushed every time. I mean, can you imagine telling a 9-year-old, hey, sing this.
Yes. Right.
Hey, right. It says, yes, it's deal from strength or get crushed every time. And sing it like the way they just sang it. I mean, that is the most ridiculous. Attitude, colors don't run. Enemies of freedom. It's amazing. It's truly incredible what's going on here. My choice with Trump is just to laugh at the whole thing, because this is just, I mean, come on.
Further down in the article, the USA Freedom Kids team, according to Popick, includes the three performers, two girls who, like Brian Wilson, are really strictly in the studio. Five dancers, vocal coaches, music producers, music engineers, and choreographers. Choreographers.
What's the end game here? Is he trying to make himself a softer Trump, throwing out the 9, 10-year-olds?
So if you read this article, I'm not getting too much into it, but this guy is like a failed actor, kind of tried to go for it in Hollywood. I think he's doing the classic live through your child. He was a stunt driver, appeared in shows such as The Dukes of Hazzard and The Fall Guy. He wanted to get into producing, but things hadn't exactly gone that way. He's been involved with 12 to 13 different business ventures. Sounds like a class act. 847 texting in. Hitlerish propaganda. I wouldn't argue that.
It's generally frightening. Actually, not generally. It is frightening. Go ahead, Dan.
Anybody else get a mental picture of the two twin girls from The Shining singing that?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Walking down the hotel hallway, coming at you.
Like, if you're Donald Trump and somebody presents that to you here, this is what we're going to do, Don. We're going to get some 9-year-olds and we're going to sing a song. It's going to have words like enemies of freedom, and we're going to throw in their don't deal from strength or get crushed every time. And we're going to sing it like it's something you would hear when you go see your third grader at a school rally or whatever, a school play. And this is going to really bring people together, and you're going to rise past Ted Cruz and whoever else. He's like, all right, I'm in. Let's go. I'm down. I mean, how did that conversation go? For real.
And they committed the cardinal sin of song adaptation, which is shoehorning lyrics in to fit the verses. Make America great.
That's good attention to detail right there.
So anyways, the Donald Trump rally song, it's out there. Check it out on YouTube. It's horrible, but it may earworm you for the rest of the weekend.
Will it bring the country together? You know who's coming on, by the way? I don't want to get too political on you. But I'm enjoying this Bernie little run. Little burn dog. Get my man in there. Bernie's a crazy guy to some. But I love him. The more Bernie, the more excited I get. Like, he's really the only guy that I'm relating to in the whole thing right now. Watch the original six matchup in primetime as Patrick Kane and the Hawks take on the high-flying Montreal Blackhawks Canadiens. That's Sunday at 6 on WGN-TV. And, of course, our pregame right here on 720 WGN goes at 5:30. Quick timeout, and then I have a bill that could be in the thousands of dollars, and that's a real story. And
I don't know what that means, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it's all coming up next, and this happened yesterday, and it's all true, and I need help. 720 WGN. Greatest man ever, Martin Luther King. Hope everybody has a great Monday. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell. MCKP. Dan Long producing. The pink shirt guy up in news. All right, so this is what happens yesterday, KP. Mm-hmm. And I need suggestions on how to handle this. And this is a real crisis in my life right now.
Okay.
So I come home from lunch, day job over at fansided.com. Give a little publicity to my guys over there.
Quality plug, Carm.
Thank you. Do some video work over there. You should check it out. So I come home from lunch and
were you having for lunch?
Didn't really. I had some soup. Had a little navy bean soup that I was going to warm up.
That's quality.
You know, perhaps was going to throw in a fruit, something healthy, trying to get things right. By the way, I want to know how your resolution's doing. Get to that. KP was not supposed to eat fast food until
February. It's first month.
Right. It's January the 16th now. We'll see how he's doing at some point today. But so I get home and I go in the kitchen. I get the soup out, mm-hmm. put it in the bowl, throw it in the microwave. Microwave ain't working.
Ugh.
All right.
So you had to actually take a pot out of the cabinet? Do you have pots in your apartment?
So I do. Then I went to get the pot. Stove ain't working. So now I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, must have blown a fuse here. So I go. Shockingly, I knew where the fuse box was. Flipped all the switches. Nothing was off, but so I just flipped them anyway. Went back in.
Started flipping stuff.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay.
Now I go into the... Now I'm depressed, can't eat.
Right.
Go into the little living room, mm-hmm. sit down, bachelor pad here, turn on the TV. TV ain't working. Oh, I have no power. So text the neighbor, hey, are you home? Because she's a comedian, works different stuff. but she doesn't respond right away. So I call ComEd. I'm like, hey, I don't have power. I'm not exactly sure if there's an outage going on or perhaps my bill got lost in the mail, whatever it is. I don't know. I really didn't. And turns out that I haven't been apparently signed. I thought I was, and I pay every, you know, all my bills are e-pay. But apparently I have not been signed up, according to ComEd at least, since way back in 2013.
What?
Yes. I have been getting power.
For 3 years.
Because, I've worked in radio. I've worked in Kansas City.
So where have your checks been going? Or your e-pay? You did, never signed up.
I thought I was signed up. And, you know, it's whatever. ComEd's 30 bucks or whatever it is. I'm not really paying attention.
Yeah.
Not that I'm overflowing in the dough here, but 30 bucks, 30 bucks.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not sitting there looking at everything that's going on. And so I got no power. And it's 1 p.m. I'm like, well, can you get somebody out here? Because it's cold outside.
Now,
you
know? Here's the first thing that comes to mind. There's no sort
3 years.
Okay, so is there any sort of like, dude, you owe us money for 3 years of power?
That's what's going to happen.
Seriously?
I think that's what's going to happen. 312-981-7200. I guarantee somebody out there has had this happen. I want to know what's coming for me. 312-981-7200.
So let's do the math here.
Well, I've already done it.
What are you thinking? Like a?
It's
like
at least a grand. A
couple grand or two?
I mean, who knows what they're going
to start a GoFundMe page.
I mean,
So what do they say? They turn the power back on?
Well, first of all, they said like, hey, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We can't get anybody out there today. I'm like,
why?
I'm like, hold on a second.
Wouldn't
like,
that be the prime where they would be able to get somebody out?
I'm like, well, hold on a second. It's like, you know, it wasn't the coldest day of the winter, but it was cold out there. No heat. It ain't going to work. So I had to go Priceline Hotel last night.
Well, this was yesterday.
Yes, this was yesterday. I stayed at a hotel last night because I wasn't going to, I mean, I probably could have battled through it, but I mean, come on. Didn't want to do that. So that's a night of a hotel that I wouldn't have been spending.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then they came out today and now we're rolling. But, you know, they got meters and stuff.
Right.
They can see what's going on here. So, I mean, I maintain that I came back and made the call and somebody, there's got to be a discrepancy, error somewhere, please.
If someone could help Carm, please.
I mean, this is a serious concern, your team.
I had a similar incident, sort of. But you know how everyone's getting the new debit cards that have chips into them for enhanced security?
Mm-hmm.
I got a new one way back in the spring. And it's nice because, you know, again, the security is better in these. But, I mean, everything in our lives we have connected to our bank accounts. Right, so I had to go into all my accounts and replug in the information for the new card because the number changes and everything on the card. So I'm just driving. I got my iPass or whatever. All of a sudden, I get this notice from iPass.
You're out.
I had been out for like 2 months.
Oh yeah.
So I'm freaking out because iPass the initial bill they will send your way is all the missed charges and then the fees on top. So I'm looking,
it's like 75 a clip, right?
It's something crazy. So the bill was like 600. I'm like, So I ended up going there. They were cool. The people at iPass were great. They're like, you know, we'll waive all the fees. You still have to pay all the tolls, which is fine. That's fine with me. I'll pay the tolls.
Right.
Got that settled. But, just a word of caution. If you get that new card, just double check that everything is updated with all your bills. Stuff happens. But I'm worried about you, Carm. This could put you in, like, you're going to have to file for bankruptcy.
I might go GoFundMe. 312-981-7200. I knew there would be at least one person out there that would have a similar experience. Chris, you're on 720 WGN. What's going to happen to me? Chris?
You didn't hit the right button.
I didn't?
What'd you hit?
I swear I hit the right button. Chris?
No, look, it's a red circle with a line through it. He's not on. Hit the one.
There he is. Hey, Chris. Sorry.
No, sorry.
What's going to happen here, Chris?
Yeah, so pretty much they're going to send you the bill. You're going to get billed for it. And that's what happened to us. We had it. We were moved into a new place for about 4 months. They shut it off. It was like the coldest week of the year 2 years ago. And then they sent us like an $800 bill. Well, we were able to set up a payment plan, but I mean, with a payment plan and then your new monthly bill, it's not fun.
Oh boy.
Did you attempt to fight this, Chris, in any way, shape, or form?
You know what? We did, but I mean, they own it. There's nothing you can really do go up against ComEd.
I mean, that's what I was saying on the phone. I'm like, is there any other power company that it could have been using in this time period? Is there anybody other than you? Which kind of, Chris, that's not good news. But
can you loan Carm a few bucks, Chris?
Chris?
No, actually, I was hoping he could help me pay off my electricity bill.
We work in radio, man. That's probably not going to happen.
Chris, I love you. I'm sorry, but we're in this together, man. We're gonna fight the big corporations. We're going to take them down in our own small Chris and Carm way. You feel all right about that?
No, I'd actually prefer you don't use my name and mention ComEd. I don't need them shutting me down anymore.
Thank you for calling, Bill.
Thanks for standing strong with Carm.
Way to be there for me. Thanks, Bill, /Jim/Tito. Have a good night.
So
that's not good.
You are going to have to drop some serious cash here, Carm. 3 years worth? He just said he got charged $800 for 4 months.
This is not good.
Dude.
This is not good.
We need to figure something out here.
We do. Maybe Badass will help me.
Maybe.
336 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell, MC and KP, with you till 5 o'clock. Now it is time for At the Movies, or in this case, Not at the Movies. KP has been. I apparently have not been, because the Oscars are on Sunday, and we're going to try to break it down as best we can here without actually having seen the movie. Nick DiGiglio, of course, has seen every single movie.
He's seen every movie twice, and I've been looking for something to do in the wintertime when it's cold, because I'm disgusting. I have a disease, a golf disease. In the summertime, when I'm not here, I'm at the golf course or the driving range. So right now, obviously, I can't do that. Bit cold outside. So I've been seeing movies lately.
Have you really?
Because sometimes I'll go home, I'll try to get a nap in, because, you know, I get here at 3:15, 3:30 in the morning. A little tired when I get home, Carm.
It's all right, pal.
Sometimes I can't fall asleep. So I can't just sit there all day, you know, so I go, I'm going to go see a movie. So I've seen some movies here. You've seen zero movies, especially none of the potential award-winning films of 2015.
Well, I'm normally, you know, I'm a sports guy, at least part of the time, and so I have seen Concussion, but that got nominated for nothing.
I don't even want to. I'm going to see it because I'm more of a sports guy myself, but I haven't seen it.
Good movie. Enjoyed it. Thought Will Smith was great. Apparently nobody else thought that, because he's not nominated for anything. And Will Smith, it ain't like some obscure guy. But got no love. And then what else have I seen? Star Wars, which was...
Got technical nominations, that's all.
Yeah.
I don't want to cause any sort of riot here. Snooze fest. Bored the entire time.
Star Wars?
Wow,
yes.
Look at you.
I agree with you. I thought it was awful.
The last 20 to 30 minutes were good, entertaining, but... It's nothing. Nothing for me.
Agreed.
Anyways, we're going to do, what'd you call it? Not at the Movies with Carm?
Not at the Movies with
Carm.
By
the way, the Academy Awards, not until February 28th.
Did you say this Sunday, Carm?
You said Sunday.
The Oscars.
Yeah, February 28th.
Hold on a second. Something's going on this Sunday, is it not?
There's football. There's 60 minutes
there's football
for Sean
tomorrow.
Penn.
There's no...
The nominations just came out this week. They can't have the award. They have to send out the nominations.
That's hysterical. Clearly not at the movies.
Yes.
These things happen live radio. I have never been wrong before. This is the first time.
Mark it. Now, how are we going to do this again? We're going to play a movie cut for you, and you're going to tell us what happened in the scene?
Yeah. I'm an expert. I don't need to see the movie. I can tell you if it was a good movie. I'll tell you who's going to win the award, too.
Oh, this is what we're going to do. You're going to break down a movie for us that you haven't seen based off of the trailers and billboards and whatnot that you've seen.
Yes.
The man is definitely a badass.
Okay.
And we're also, if you want to call in and recommend what should win, we can kind of like break down if you actually, like you can just sell that this is why.
Okay.
And then we'll cast our unofficial votes for him.
Well, let's do
not
that.
Not for Sunday.
Let's do this. Carm, not at the movies. We'll start with we'll do the cut in just a second, Dan. Dan Long killing it. We've got some movie cuts to play.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Max. Now don't.
Have no idea
I
what
hope,
Mad Max is
I
about.
Hope Nick's D. Well, but tell.
What's the problem?
What's going on?
Well, Carm, I know I say Mad Max, and you tell us what you think it's about based off.
Don't
the
say
movie
you don't
trailers.
Know what it's about.
Ryan, you just ruined the whole bit.
Wow.
What do you mean?
Because you're supposed to tell us.
Does he have the script or
I
what?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I go, Carm, tell us about Mad Max, and then you give us your thoughts on Mad Max.
I thought we were going to play the clip, and then I would break it down for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Play the clip from Mad Max. First clip. Please.
Okay. I like that part.
All right. I got it. So we've got a motorcycle gang, and they're thinking about overthrowing another motorcycle gang. And they were drinking whiskey, and there was going to be a brawl because somebody stared at somebody. And that was a very powerful scene, and that's one of the reasons you could feel the intensity in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and that it really jumped off the screen at you, and you just felt like you were involved in something that was real. I love Mad Max. I think it should win. Is that what you wanted from me?
Well done. I mean, nice review.
Was I there?
No, not at all, but it was a good review.
Matt.
I want to see that movie. All right, scene two, The Big Short.
Oh, The Big Short. Loved it.
We got a clip from that as well.
He has so many numbers, and I always forget which one he prefers because he's very specific. I don't know if it's the first one.
Just try it.
Okay. Okay.
Ben Rickard.
Hey, Ben, it's Jamie.
Jamie, you know you're not supposed to use this line.
Told you.
Great scene.
Break it down.
Okay, so what we're dealing with here is that you know, Ben Rickert has had some up and downs in his life. His wife has left him, and Ben is looking for comfort, and that's something that we can all relate to. And I thought that the actor that played Ben Jr., I mean, he connected in a way that was so authentic.
Powerful.
It was.
Yeah.
And
so, but
you could feel his trials and tribulations.
Can you explain the scene, though, to us? What exactly was going on there?
Well, what was going on there, KP, clearly. This was the epicenter of Ben's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it had taken a left turn. Mm-hmm. And there was a quandary that Ben was trying to get through. And Jamie wanted him to get, you know, right there.
Right.
But Ben was uncomfortable. And so he came up with he used that wrong line type of thing as a way to avoid the issue. And as you all know, we're all dealing with avoidance in our own lives. And that's why we can relate to what Ben's going through. And again, it's just a very relatable movie, The Big Short.
Right. Well, it's not even close,
nah.
Carmen.
Nah.
But there definitely was a quandary.
There was.
So you were sort
See?
Of on there. But essentially, Ben, the character Brad Pitt plays, is this former big-time financial analyst, and these two kids who are young investment bankers are trying to get Ben's help. But Ben's very particular. He's kind of off the grid. He's done with banking. These two kids are kind of getting him back into it, and he's helping them out.
Oh.
But your explanation sounded cool. I mean,
my movie was better.
Yeah.
They listened to me.
If it ever got made.
That movie's got potential. Ben.
Yeah.
It does. We got the third line ready, Dan? All right. This is from The Revenant.
All right, he's playing a video game, mm-hmm. and he's thinking about
the Revenant. He's playing video game. Is that what you said?
Well, that sounded like
no. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I just want to clear that.
Yeah,
up.
It sounds like he's playing a video game.
Okay, yeah, go on. I was just clearing that.
And it's kind of like in the same scene, like from Ferris Bueller's, where the game is up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ed Rooney comes walking into the bar in the middle of the afternoon. So this guy is avoiding his life, and he should have been in school, but he was playing video games, and it was a way for him to sort of, you know, get out some of his aggression.
Right.
And this is a very compelling character,
mm-hmm.
who, again, is very relatable, and he has a thing with horses.
Well, I would agree that he's very relatable because most of us have gone on 200-mile journeys in the middle of winter through no man's land. So relatable, yes. Can live off the land, things of that nature.
Fight
so,
off a bear.
In that regard, yes.
That was
you're right.
Oh, right. That's the Leonardo DiCaprio role.
Yeah. So in that regard, yeah, most of us have been attacked by a bear. So we're relatable to the character. Other than that, though, you were wrong.
Have you ever been attacked by a bear? I know a guy was attacked by a bear.
Seriously?
Yes. He was.
Ouch.
Guy was in Alaska, right? It's a true story. He's, you know, doing the camping thing. One of my relaxed, I'll call it, University of Iowa friends.
Okay.
Here is a huge something coming through the woods. I mean, the bears are large animals.
What, he knocked on the tent?
No. We're walking through. They're on a hike, middle of the day.
Okay.
So this, I mean, they hear it coming. He gets as big as he possibly can be. I guess that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, your buddy did.
Yes. I was not there. I would have ran, and that bear would have run me down, and it would have been over.
Right.
But they stood still. Bear comes through. They're eye to eye with the bear, stare down the bear, and just try to make themselves look as big as possible. Go away, bear. Go away, bear. Go away, bear. Bear went away. True story.
So they weren't actually attacked.
No, but that thing
almost
was barreling through the brush. Scary story. Terrifying. Go on. What's the next movie? What do you got?
Let's do cut four. Let's go with that.
Very
good. Is it the batter? The batter. We're going to add some butter to it.
Butter.
Oh,
yeah. Mash that in.
Okay, so this is a mom and a daughter. They're clearly baking a cake. What's the name of the movie?
Room?
Room.
Do you know what this is about?
No.
Okay.
So they're this is the special room in the house.
I love this segment.
Oh, man.
I love this.
Where
we need to make this a regular segment of the Cochran Show. Seriously,
the true bonding takes place here. This is a way, again, for a connection where, you know, it's uncomfortable to talk about certain things in life, but when you're making a cake and you're in that special room, that special place, you can get to the heart.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. You could not be more wrong.
It sounds so good, though.
Do you know what? Clearly you don't. Room is about 5-year-old Jack. That's a little boy and his mother, by the way.
That's fine.
They escape from the enclosed surroundings that Jack has known his entire life. This kid's been blocked into a room for 5 years.
Oof.
With his mother, and they escape. And he makes a thrilling discovery.
Can I hear that clip again, please? That's one more time. Cut four. It's my guy.
It's the most depressing movie.
Yeah.
Very good. Is it the batter?
It's the batter.
We're going to add some butter, too.
Butter. Oh,
yeah. Mash that in.
So you could not be more wrong there, Carm.
So he broke out of there, and this is...
with his mother.
Oh, so it's a nice... That's a beautiful moment right there.
Right.
Should I go see Room?
You should. I hear good things. We've got one more cut here. You ready for one more?
Sure.
Okay. Dan, whenever you're ready, we can fire cut five.
The hell is he thinking right now?
I'm definitely gonna die up here if I have to listen to any more god-awful disco music.
What's the name of the movie?
The Martian.
The Martian. He's gonna die up here if he ever has to hear any more disco music. All right, well, so this is clearly, we have established that we can live on Mars, and he's creating a whole new world for himself, and he's fighting the urge that he wants to go back to Earth, but he's also feeling comfortable in his new land. And despite the fact that he misses his parents and his close friends, he's been able to build a bond with this new community that he has ascended, you know, that he's now involved in. And it's internal turmoil, which once again all of us can relate to. We all have to make decisions in life. Some of them are easier than others, but most times when you get to something like this, it's very difficult. And the Martian is up against it.
That was good, Richard Roper. Well done.
Am I close on that one?
That was actually not your worst effort of the five, Carm.
Okay.
Well, you're very diplomatic.
I mean, I thought all of them were great efforts, KP, but that's fine.
But, yes, you will be giving Dean Richards, Nick DiGilio, Richard Roper all a run for the money in terms of your future movie critic career that you're about to endure on.
Real story of the Martian?
I haven't seen the Martian, but he goes to Mars. There is a fierce storm, and he's left behind by his crew. He's the only one in on Mars.
Ooh, that's tough. Wouldn't want to be in that situation.
No. So that was Mark Carman not at the movies.
I think.
Wait, we still got a couple of. There's still a couple that have been nominated that he didn't.
Well, we don't have audio for those, Roger.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I ran out of time.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, wait, I could play a couple for you. I've got them right here. You want
sure,
to try this
fire,
one?
Fire away.
Dee Dee Gardner and Jeremy Kleiner, producers.
Oh, no, we don't want that one.
Bridge of Spies.
Hold on.
Steven Spielberg, Mark Platt,
cut it, badass.
And Christy McConnell.
No, I'm trying to get to the actual clip.
Off the rails with badass.
How about I just...
Here we go. Okay. Here we go.
What do you got, Raj?
All right. Here's the clip for this movie.
I can't wait to hear it.
Do I say the... here we go.
Simon Kinberg.
Never mind. Where's this video that's playing that shouldn't be playing?
Roger, I got to be honest. This segment was not exactly excelling to all levels at the start of it.
We could have Carm guess based on the names of the people being nominated.
Yeah, but this thing, I've had this page open for like an hour, and they're still making the announcements.
You can't win them all, Roger.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Hold on a second.
Somehow I don't think this here we go is going to be accurate. But go ahead. Keep it coming, Rog.
Never mind. All right, so...
Carmen, real quick though, let me go through. We hit almost all of them. Spotlight.
One of the worst performances in TV news history. Roger Badish.
Can you give us the lowdown on Spotlight and give us your critical review of it?
Well, Spotlight.
This is a sensitive movie, so be careful here, Carmen.
Yeah.
Well, Spotlight is of course about being in the spotlight, and all of us, even if we're major personalities or just your regular average,
like you or myself, major personalities.
Right, right. Yeah. If you're talking on the radio at 3:53 a.m. or if you're just doing a regular 9-to-5 job, we're all in the spotlight in our own way. Guy that when we walk out the door every day, we're all out there to perform, and Spotlight wants to put a spotlight on some of the people that you don't necessarily see in the so-called spotlight. Mm-hmm. So when you get into, the up and down of people that are just trying to, fight for what's right in the world, it's going to put a spotlight on those people. And that's why it really, again, connects with the populace, and that's why the Academy likes it, because it's very deep.
Again, a horrible review by Mark Harmon.
Yeah, really.
This is from IMDb. The true story of how the Boston Globe uncovered the massive scandal of child molestation and cover-up within the local Catholic archdiocese, shaking the entire Catholic Church to its core. A little off, Carm.
Just a
tad. A little off on that one.
That's unfortunate. Give me one more, and then we'll
okay,
put
Bridge
this
of
one
Spies.
To bed. Which one?
Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies.
All right, by the way, real quick, Spotlight, best movie I've seen in 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good movie. Excellent.
Mark it down, Carm. Go see it.
Hey, I'm in.
Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies. Well, Bridge of Spies goes back to the Cold War, and you've got six guys that were trying to uncover. We're getting audio baddish.
Roger, now your audio is working, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, now it's gone, though. Okay, go ahead, Carm. Okay.
I'm going to management getting you a massive raise for this performance.
Just trying to help out, guys.
All right, Cold War era. Here we go.
Cold War era, six guys, and they're thinking about making the move to Russia.
Who? Did you say six guys?
Six guys.
They want to move to Russia?
Yes.
Wait, which one are you reviewing now?
Bridge of Spies.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
They're debating yeah. going over on the bridge,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, not a real life bridge, but a bridge.
Like a metaphorical bridge.
A metaphorical yeah. bridge over troubled waters type of bridge.
Okay.
And what they realize is that deep down, they are true Americans. And they decide that they're patriots. Mm-hmm. And this is not the way they want to go about their life. And there's, again, a lot of turmoil.
Yes.
But,
so this was maybe one of your worst reviews.
This was the worst one?
Not even close, Carm.
847 says this is the worst segment ever. Please don't do it again. Ouch.
Yeah, it was terrible, Carm.
I thought it was terrible. Was it that bad?
No, I thought it was had some funny moments. I thought the best part was when Roger played the audio for us.
Yeah.
But no, come on, Carm. It's the Cold War. Tom Hanks, American lawyer, recruited.
It was the Cold War?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you got that. Tom Hanks played an American lawyer recruited to defend an arrested Soviet spy in court and then helped the CIA facilitate an exchange of the spy for the Soviet captured American U-2 spy plane pilot on a bridge.
You know what they say.
That's exactly what I said.
You give 100 monkeys typewriters, and pretty soon you'll get something that is worth reading. And he hit it once with the Cold War.
Yeah. I mean, I nailed the Cold War.
You nailed it.
Do you know how hard that is to do? It's not something that, you know, my intuition is strong.
815 says, Room is actually about three radio personalities getting their own show on WGN. I like that one better.
I'm in my own room.
We got a shot, a very, very, very strong shot after that segment. 720 WGN. Good morning, 407-720-WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. Thanks for putting on the show tonight. We are still looking for names for the show. Gotten a lot of good ones. What's the latest we've gotten, KP?
The three guys that showed up.
Show on 720-WGN. That's not bad.
I like it.
Badass, smartass, and dumbass. Great show. That's not bad. 312-981-7200. We do want to take a slight right turn here and do something serious and give condolences to a producer over at Channel 7 who was found slain, as the Tribune writes it, in Belize. Anne Swaney, I hope I'm getting that name pronounced right, Swaney. She was 39 years old, lived in the Ravenswood area on the north side, traveling to Belize. She was reported missing first on Thursday. And they found her bruised body Friday morning in the Mopon River near a deck where her belongings were found. She had blunt force injuries to her head and neck, and death was being investigated as a homicide. You know, people love to travel. I love to travel. Going down to Belize, I mean, that's like a dream. And this obviously is a complete nightmare. Police found her belongings on a deck along the riverbank, but saw no sign of her. They resumed a search the next day, and they found her floating in the river. And these things can endless, and it can happen in Belize, it can happen in Chicago, it can happen anywhere. But it's bottom line, 39 years old. That's an enormous tragedy, and our condolences out to her family and loved ones. And I didn't know her, Kevin. I don't know if you did.
I didn't. But we all have many friends over at ABC7. And just condolences to everyone. Feel terrible about it. And from everything we've heard, she was a phenomenal person, great at her job. And as you said, it is a tragedy.
Yeah, so we did want to pass that along. And just, you know, one of the stories you tend to read every day, and there's a million of them in Chicago, is tragedies that happen here every day. And we've talked about that, but we don't want to bring you down on the overnight. So, moving it along, if we can, another right turn. Kevin Powell had a New Year's resolution, and that was, and I kind of pushed you into it, I guess.
Yeah, well, we said, Kevin, next segment we're doing New Year's resolutions, think of something, so this is what I thought of.
Yeah, that's probably exactly how that went with. And what was your resolution again?
No fast food for the first month of 2016.
You said it with moderate conviction, too.
I'm dedicated to this, and I have yet to eat fast food, Carm.
Really?
Yes, true story.
Wow.
Carm, new year, new me.
Hold on. Give me a high five.
Yeah, high five.
All right. Way to go, KP.
Carm, I've been working out every day.
For real?
For real. I took off So last week I worked out about 5 days in a row. This week I worked out every day except Sunday and Monday. So Tuesday through today.
I'll work out.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to work out and then get my day going.
What's the workout looking like?
Right now, just getting back in the swing of things, doing some running, about 2.5-3 miles on the treadmill, and then just some weights. Just trying to get the body back into it, you know, because when you go as long as I did without working out, you gotta get it moving a little bit. But Carm,
have you dropped some poundage?
It's killing LBs over here.
How many? Do you know?
I'm down to like 223 right now.
From?
Well, it's from the new year, I was probably at like 233, 235.
It's a lot of weight, dude. 12 pounds, you're losing them almost a pound a day.
But at peak fatness,
yes,
I was like 240, 245.
Peak fatness. That's a great term.
So
I gotta tell you, you carry it well.
Thanks,
seriously,
Roger, I appreciate it.
Because I'm up about that high.
Yeah? Well, yeah. You wear pink shirts, it's deceiving.
It spreads it out.
So overall, I'm probably down. I mean, 15 pounds, not from the New Year's, but when I hit peak fatness, that was probably in prime holiday season, like mid-December, when I was just eating everything.
Now, how do you feel? Do you notice even an ounce of a difference?
Yeah, I do, actually, a little bit. Because when you work out and you run, I mean, I'm on the treadmill for 40 minutes, you know. It relieves stress a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Have you changed your diet at all?
He's not eating fast food. That's
That I know, but in addition to that.
In addition, yes, I have.
Okay.
The biggest thing for me, and I've always said this, because look, my whole life, my weight has been up, down, up, down, up, down.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So I know how to lose weight. And when I do lose weight, it's just a commitment, and it's like a schedule thing, you know,
right.
Getting a routine going.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like once I get into this gear, there's really no stopping, but I always said, if you want to lose weight, it's just run more, eat less. So that's what I'm doing right now. So even I've been eating better, I'm eating fruit and all that stuff, but I still really can't do the salad thing. But I've been eating a ton less, just a lot less food in general.
How's the hunger?
It's all right, because after the first couple of days, your stomach, you know. And even when on my cheat days, you know, Carm, I went to get some barbecue the other day.
All right.
And I got a third slab of ribs.
Okay. A third of a slab?
A third of a slab. And some baked beans and some broccoli.
I mean, that's not even a cheat. That's a fair meal.
And there was a little bit of smoked turkey. But my point is, when I was in prime, you know, peak fatness,
yeah.
I would have ordered a full slab of ribs. I would have got the mac and cheese. I would have got beans. I would have got the Texas toast with that. I would have got it all. But I ate it all, and I wasn't that hungry. I was full after. You know what I mean? Where before, if I had a third slab of ribs, are you kidding me?
So are you thinking
two slabs down?
So you're talking about a real commitment here.
I'm going for the full shebang. Now,
what is the full shebang?
The full shebang means like not just a month worth of dieting. You know what I mean?
How much you want to drop?
Yeah, where do you want to get to?
I want to get to, like, when I was in the best shape was my last year in college. I was working out every day. I was running, like, 5 miles a day, lifting weights. I was down to, like, 190, 195.
See, and one thing you should know about Kevin Powell, and you mentioned it earlier in the show, is you love golf.
Love golf.
And you're a very good golfer.
No? Streaky.
He's a real good golfer.
I'm not real good. Streaky. Mid-80s golfer.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay,
Mid to low 80s.
All right, that's not that great, but it's great for you, Raj. I get it.
It's way great, greater.
It's great for me too, but it's not. Have you ever shot in the 70s?
Yes, multiple times.
Multiple times. Well, then that's great, man.
Well, I'm just saying in general, I'll probably shoot mid to low 80s, like an 83, an 82,
that's
an 84.
Awesome.
Right, and my point being here, Kevin, as you, what are you, 26 years old
26,
now?
26, yeah.
Okay. You're getting more mature by the day. You're losing weight. You're producing Steve Cochran. You're hosting overnights. You're growing into the best KP that you could possibly be, right?
Yeah.
This is a true story. This is the real Carm right here.
You're getting me fired up. All right.
Okay, so, my point being here is that the sky is the limit mm-hmm. for you. You have no idea where you can take your career. You have no idea where you can take your prowess with women. You have no idea.
That's what I'm really interested in.
Well, that's a good thing to be interested in. There's nothing wrong with that. You have no idea, because you love the golf. I just want to put that out there for you. You have no idea. If you're in shape, and I know it's golf, that you don't necessarily need to be, you know, running up and down the hoop court like at the Carm was doing 6 a.m. the other day like a champion right after the...
Well, you're an American hero.
Yeah. Right. But my point is that, like, everything is on the table. You could... You're shooting upper 70s. What happens if you get super shape? Everything's
Oh, you're saying like make a run at the U.S. Open or
Yeah,
something.
Why not?
That's where you're going.
Sure.
Or some adult-style tournament that you could win and just feel good about yourself and get a trophy.
Maybe weasel my way into some country club tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's a club tournament, get a trophy.
There's a big city tournament, you know. I mean, amateur tournament.
I'm sure that Steve Cochran could get you into some tournament somewhere and you could get some acclaim. That's what I'm talking about.
My math is fuzzy, but I think I owe Steve Cochran about 2,000 rounds of golf.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, I'm sure he can. So you're going with the golf angle because of the losing the weight.
Yeah, you're going to be that much more spry on the golf course. I bet you get fatigued out there.
It's hard to get fatigued unless it's really hot and you're walking. But my
you need to start walking.
My philosophy is as the weight goes down,
yeah,
you know, that helps the women go up. You know what I'm saying?
Is that a true story?
Well, that's my theory, and I'm rolling with it. Don't you think? I mean, if you look better.
He's testing it right now.
Well, the last time that we did the show, I touched on a nerve because...
You didn't touch on a nerve. You just brought it up, but I didn't bring it up.
I brought up basically that you were going through a breakup. You showed
The breakup was it's over, but it's
well. There was a little bit of emotion on the face.
I broke down in tears and was in the fetal position in the corner. But other than that, I was fine.
Right. it became uncomfortable. But my point is that you're now a single guy and you're losing this weight. How's that going for you? I mean, are you seeing any results?
You go for all the personal details, huh?
Wow.
Well, you don't have to answer it, but you know.
I mean, yes.
It's 4:17 in the morning.
Just tell him it's a work in progress.
No, hold on. Let him. He can figure out.
I'm just saying.
I'm crafting my answer.
He can figure out what.
I used to be in public relations. Go ahead.
Some success.
There has been some success.
Some success.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
I'm hoping more tomorrow night.
Well, and back in the day, you know, when you were a dating man, and you know, you were with your girlfriend for a long time, and I didn't know you as well, and I didn't know that you were hooked up. I tried to get you going. You know this, KP. I'm like,
You were all about it, and now that I am single, you don't seem to be very helpful, Carm. Other than to tell me I should go golfing more.
Well, back in the day, I was dating someone who was.
All right, since you did this, Carm, are you seeing someone right now?
I don't want to speak about myself. I mean, this segment's more focused on you.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
No, listen.
You're digging at me.
I was
inquiring minds want to know.
I was in the long-term four-year relationship, and that ended about a year ago, and I have been in the fetal position myself.
For the whole year?
Pretty much, yes. Oh, but I've been moving through as best I can, and I did realize, and let me give a public service announcement to the men in the world like myself who are perhaps, you know, around that 40-year realm, and you've never pulled the trigger, never been married.
You ever been close to getting married?
I've been in four long terms.
Okay, but in any sort of engagement?
No, never been engaged.
All right.
So what I realized as I delve into myself here.
Are you just done? Like, you're not going
to
get married.
No, absolutely getting, I hope to, and I'd love to have children, the whole thing. This is my goal. But this is what I've realized. Dr. Carm here, as we did my movies first, and now I'm going put on the psychologist. I did get a psychology degree from the University of Iowa. I have realized, as I've looked, done a little introspection here, looked a little closer, I've realized that if I had been dating the most beautiful, the most athletic, the funniest, the wealthiest, any combination of perfect you want to come up with, I would have found something wrong with her. I promise you.
So it's you.
You're a perfectionist.
That's correct. It is. It was 100% me.
Oh.
Well, it's not a thing about a perfectionist. It's about just the fear of commitment and the you know really being in a true partnership.
You fit like the ultimate guy stereotype.
In some ways, yes.
Things like that.
Well, it's not even just commitment. It's just that whole, you know, the same person for the rest of time. Oh, my God.
Do you think
that
you would have to give up too much if you actually got married?
I'm sure that was in there somewhere.
All right.
Well, this, I guess, opens up another, I guess this is like our 14th question we've asked the listeners text into, but pointers for single guys?
Sure.
Pickup lines? Whatever you want to throw our way, we'll take it.
Or just, you know, pointers for, hey, marriage is great. You should do it.
Right.
Marriage is great. You should do it.
You can lie in the text. That's fine.
No. I'm celebrating middle of February, 40 years.
Badass.
Somebody has been with you for 40 years.
God help
her. She must really be. Honestly, she's got to be a saint.
She bought you that shirt. That's why you're wearing it.
Drugs work real well.
I don't know what that means.
Why?
All right, 720 WGN. So we're getting some love on the text line for people who want me to fight ComEd and not have to go into bankruptcy. 847, hi, Carm, fight the ComEd thing. There's no way for them to accurately bill you for such a long period of time if you never got a bill or notice, and I never did get a notice. I thought I was paying the bill. And you thought the charges were being withdrawn. It's on them. Kind of like when a store has a product in the wrong place and there's a price difference, they give you the price of where it was. Worst case scenario, they bill you a reconnect fee plus a few months. All right, 847. Then there's the 606 who wants me to go to jail. I'm wondering what the worst sentence is for someone stealing utilities in Chicago.
But somebody also did say earlier that there's no way they could track past 24 months.
Someone said that too.
So I think you fight it. Why not? What's the worst that could happen?
Well, and I still maintain.
Goes to jail.
He's not going to go to
That's
jail.
That's the worst that could happen.
He's not going to go to jail.
Have you ever been to jail?
No.
Yeah.
Really bad?
Yeah.
Badass has been to jail?
What happened?
What happened, Raj?
It was automobile.
Oh, one of those.
Moving violation.
No, there you go. I ever tell you that story, KP? 1993, Chicago Bulls, Phoenix Suns?
No.
Game 4, NBA Finals.
All right. You were there?
I was attempting to be there.
Okay. How old were you then?
1993, I was 20 years old.
Wow, I was 4.
I am older than you. A lot of wisdom over here, KP. Not on this particular day. So I came from a slightly privileged family where we had season tickets in the Jordan era. And what would happen at the start of the playoffs, they would give you, you know, the booklet of tickets for every possible game. Well, the Bulls always, back then, swept teams.
Right.
So the last game that they would give you was game P. So it was A through P. That was the maximum. If every series went 7 games, that'd be the maximum games.
Gotcha.
So then they'd sweep in the first round. Well, game, you're never going to get to game P. You're going to get a refund on that. And then you get a refund on game O. Okay. So I go to the game. I've got a girlfriend at the time, one of the people that I didn't marry.
Right.
Good old KP, we'll call her. She's also a KP. How's that?
All right.
So we go to the game.
Still got her number?
Yeah, she's out in Portland, and she's playing for the other team now, so that wouldn't be a situation for you.
Alrighty.
But so we go down there. I bring the game-o tickets, right? And back then, there was no scanning. It was just, you know, ripping you through. Uh-huh. And we wouldn't have had a seat, but we would have been in. And, you know, we could have walked around the great Chicago Stadium, greatest building ever, and figured it out. So, but then there was a whole news story around the time. Counterfeit tickets, don't get scammed, that whole type of deal. Mm-hmm. So the Bulls had put an extra security person at the ticket window, or at the ticket taker spot, you know, at the gate. So I'm in line, and I see this extra person sitting there. I'm like, man, thoughts start going through my head. If I get caught here trying to get in on these seats, they could take our season tickets away. My family would, I'd be disowned.
Your family would be shamed in the community.
Right. I mean, it would be all over. So I get out of line. I said, here, let's think about this for a second. So we get out of line. We go on the street. Guy walks up to me. I profile him as a scalper. He asked me, what are you doing? And I said, well, you know, I'm thinking about going in on these seats, but they're not for today. What do you got? And sometimes these guys, like, would know the ticket taker. Like, you give them $20, and like, you just walk up there, and they'd say, hey, your guy outside said it's okay. Mm-hmm. And they would split the dough. That type of thing would go on. That doesn't go on now, but it did back in the day. It was a beautiful world back then. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever. Maybe he was selling seats. At any rate, I said, what do you got? And he's like, wait a second. What are you doing? I proceed to tell him again. Well, I have tickets. They're not for today, but I was going to do it. Badish has got his head in his hands, and he's on the desk. He proceeds to he lifts up his shirt. Out come the handcuffs.
Oh, boy. Oh, you dog, you.
Handcuffed. He handcuffs my, whatever, doesn't matter. Handcuffs one of my arms, wrists. Handcuffs the other one to the girlfriend. And off, we are taken to the paddy wagon. People are running into the stadium. Jordan had 55 in this game. All right, he hit the floater, the whole deal. We go to some, you know, whatever, little holding situation on the old west side, and I had to call Papa Fred, who came on down.
He was thrilled, right?
Oh, he was thrilled. And so I, you know, my dad, you know, he's a lawyer, so he got me out of the old pokey. But girlfriend, she's still in.
Oh, really?
So I walk out. She's still in there.
She was real impressed with you at
this
point.
Oh, she loved me. Yeah. And, you know, her mom's there. Oh, hi, God. How are you?
Oh, boy.
At the Carm, future Twitter handle. Apologize that your daughter's in jail because of my... And I think it would have worked, too, is the thing. If I had just gone through, it would have been all right.
Wow.
But that was, I fingerprinted and the whole deal. Like, I went for a job, like, back in the day when I was trying to be a trader. You have to go, you know, there's so many, I mean, that's like.
You were a wild man.
Really?
Just getting locked up at the.
He felt places that.
Oh, wow.
He made sure the whole, I mean, he knows more about
he
me.
He was
than
looking for more counterfeit tickets. Huh?
Many women that I dated never got as far as this guy. This guy got. I mean, he was there. It was real.
Wow. Well, I'm happy you survived that, Carm. It sounds like a very rattling situation.
I actually, there were some great people in that holding cell. There was one cameraman. He made a fake badge, right? He sneaks in through gate 3 and after the media thing. This guy wanted to get up close and take pictures of Jordan and for real, like, and sell him. He didn't want to just get in, but he wanted to, like, you know, create a whole career for himself. The dude made a fake badge and he got in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, but he wanted to be on the floor. It wasn't enough for him to be in. So he, like, positioned himself right behind the hoop. And before the game, they like, look at him. He probably looked, this guy was just disheveled. They, like, look at him, like, wait, what is this badge? And, like, get out of here. And, like, so they sent him back out. And so he's telling this story. And there were people in there that were literally, like, climbing the fire escape to try to get in. I mean, just all sorts of. And so they're listening to it. And they're like, wait a second. You were in the stadium? Like, they couldn't believe that this guy had gotten in and then got himself in trouble. But cameraman, saw him in court when I went. They had to go to court, KP.
You had to go to court?
I had to go to court. I was arrested.
Dun, 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 dun.
I was yelling at the guy. I'm like, we didn't do it. You can't. Arrest me for a thought in my head.
Right.
What are you talking? I mean, there's people down the street. There, you know what's happening in this neighborhood. What are you?
Rod Blagojevich in jail for a thought.
Rod,
you can't compare me to Blago.
You're basically Blago.
Well, Siri, did he actually exchange money? No.
I can't believe you just Blagoed me. It's one of the worst things you've ever done.
Oh, no.
Coming down the home stretch, 720 WGN. What have we decided the show's name is, KP?
I like Two Dopes and a Badass.
It's not bad.
I mean, they're rolling in all morning. We've got a bunch.
Second time ever together.
Also, the 414 mocking us. We were talking about our lady troubles. And 414 says, hey, ladies, is this a setup for an Oprah visit? I'm sorry. We're just trying to express our feelings about our personal life.
We're trying to keep it, you know.
Just trying to give you some insight on the Two Dopes and the Badass show and what's going on in our lives.
630 texting in on some marriage advice. He writes, got in an elevator with two women. They were talking about their personal problems. I took out a business card, and on the back I wrote my name. Below that, I wrote OBGYN, then my number. I've been married for 14 years to the one I handed the card to. Also, there are no strangers here, just friends that haven't met. That worked well and at least opened some doors for a drink or two. I like that line.
And then he just texted, I'm now half the man I used to be. I wouldn't even think of behaving that way now.
Well, because so he's been married for 14 years, yeah.
Well, congratulations, and I like that approach.
Yeah, that's a classy move. I like that there are no strangers here. I feel like women are, like, if I told a girl my age that, I said, hey, there are no strangers here, just friends that I haven't met,
she'd turn around
and walk away.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you got to really sell it, and it's got to be in the moment.
No, but you're going to come across, I think, as a really friendly, good-hearted KP. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I look like, absolutely. No question.
I mean, you're.
I mean, look at me. I look like I'm 16, Carm. I'm like a little cuddly bear.
You got a little Opie going on over there. Just a nice, solid KP. You can bring KP home to mom and dad and feel very comfortable that. Right, Dan? Don't you think? KP? This guy comes in. He doesn't look like he's the big bad wolf. He's going to...
I look like a good guy.
No, he's an affable guy.
Well, see, that's your problem.
Dan would date me.
You look
Karma
too safe.
I don't want to date. I want to date someone for like a night. I'm not looking for a relationship.
Hey.
Wow.
Everybody's at their own place in life. You don't want to... You just came off of... How long were you dating your ex for? 7 years?
Yeah. Seven and a half years.
7.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a significant period of time.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you don't need to be making any...
No, I'm not getting... I don't have time. That was like half the issue. My job is busy. Busy, busy, busy.
Nope. Putting his job before his family life. Okay.
That's not family life. That was his personal
life. Well, it could be. Well,
I have, your personal life. I have kind of put work above my personal life. Absolutely.
But you're at that stage of your life
where
you can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that I want to... I'll just give you a little public service announcement from Matt the Carm, who's, you know...
You're a veteran ex-boyfriend.
I'm a veteran put work above the personal life.
Right.
At some point, if you actually want to have that whole familial thing and, you know, be Papa KP, you got to put that above
work. Well, I know that, but right now I don't want any of that,
well,
at least for now.
Right.
I have totally put work above personal
life. I'm just telling you that, and Roger, I think, will concur. Time goes quick, man.
I'll tell you this.
It's a blazer.
I'll tell you this. I gave up this type of radio, actually being on the air on a station for 30 years.
Why'd you do that? You got fired?
No.
You didn't?
No,
you took a 30-year hiatus of radio?
Yeah, but I did other stuff that was related to what we do here, and so I was kind of still in it.
And so it gave you the personal life?
Yeah. I tried to put family first. The problem was... Every position I got in the different professions I've been in were all higher level, upper management stuff that required long hours. Mm-hmm. So that still kind of dug into the family life. But I tried my darndest to put the priority on that.
Right. I think there's a lot of mistaken beliefs out there, by the way, too, that you can't have both. You can, but you got to be pretty, I would think, active in.
Well, you've got to make the commitment, and you've got to work together to make the plan work.
Right, right. KP, you got it going on.
You know, 708 says history proves women want jerks. Do I need to be a bigger jerk?
No, because then the women turn around and said all the good ones are taken. All the single women say all the good guys are taken. Well, if they like jerks, wouldn't all the jerks be taken?
You know, the women listening right now are just pulling the hair out of their heads when they hear us three idiots talk about, like, we know what we're talking about with women. You know what I mean? Like, they're listening to us act like we're trying to sound like we know what we're talking about.
I honestly just got totally derailed by a text that said,
I saw that. You're screwed.
$30 a month for ComEd. Are you somewhat Amish? You're looking at thousands. Surprised to let you go that long. Check your credit report. I mean, that honestly, I try not to get derailed by Twitter or a text. But I didn't hear anything you said the last 30 seconds because of that text.
Carm's freaking out now.
No, I'm not.
Your dad, you said your dad's a lawyer. Can he get you out of this one, too?
Yeah, Pops is, that's not what Fred will do. Fred will be like.
But he probably knows someone, right?
You got to pay it. No, he doesn't know anybody. My dad's 90 years old. He does wills and estates. He's not, you know, Johnny Cochran over there, you know, making moves here. That's not what I'm dealing with. But, all right, getting back on track, KP. The point is that...
You didn't hear what I said. I told Roger, because you obviously weren't listening, the women listeners right now are...
No, I heard the jerks.
No, the women listeners are thinking... They're pulling their hair out of their head because they're listening to us three guys talk about, like, we know women, like we know what we're talking about.
We do.
No, we don't.
You don't think we do at all?
No.
I know women.
No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't.
In what Trust way me. Do you know women?
Roger maybe does. He's been married for 30
You know what? 40 years,
years
and 40 I still
years.
Don't think I know women.
I mean, I think I got a pretty good understanding of the opposite gender. I think, you know, I'm very in touch with my emotions.
Your female side?
That's right.
Yeah.
But here, KP, what you're doing is good. Live your life.
That's what I'm saying.
It'll all come. It'll be there for you. You're the type of guy. See, I'll be out there searching for it around every single corner right now. You want to marry me? You want to marry me? Like, I'm going to marry a a coffee cup at some point here just to say that I'm married. You're going to be the relaxed dude, and she's just going to pop in there, and all of a sudden she's like, yeah, you know, I was just feeling it, and it was cool, and we're good. Like, that's what's going to happen for you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just hope she's, you know, super
cute.
Hot.
Yeah. Super hot. It's a good goal. What do you got over there? I know you want to get into a little of the activities tomorrow, and there's a big sports day, NFL, the whole deal.
Oh, you're talking to me. I thought you were talking to Dan. Divisional playoffs.
Yeah.
I think we got some good games on tap, Carm.
Some great games on tap.
Today, we're talking today here, Carm, not tomorrow. Today is Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's
we're
right.
We're talking 3:35, the first game, Chiefs to Patriots. Thoughts, Carm?
Thoughts, Carm? Well, listen, 22
years. You're the KC guy. You know what you're talking about.
I do. Listen, I got all the games broken down for you. 22 years since the Kansas City Chiefs had won a playoff game. You had to go back to Joe Montana, 1993. The Chiefs actually got a playoff W before they got their first win, blowing out the Texans. They're, you know, anytime you're on the road at New England, that's obviously a challenge, but big story in that game is Gronk, who's got
some injuries banged up. Justin Houston, one of the best pass rushers in the game, listed as questionable. I believe he is going to play, though, right, Carm? He's fully expected to play. Him and Tom Ali both listed on the injury report.
Yeah, I would expect they would both play.
Because if they're not playing, they have no chance. They have to put pressure on Brady the entire game.
That's true, and the Chiefs are great at getting pressure, and the Patriots are poor at protecting the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Brady's been sacked 38 times this year, which I believe is the fourth most in any season that he's played with New England, which is where he's always played. The big thing, though, that you didn't mention there, KP, is Jeremy Maclin,
yes,
who's the Chiefs' best wide receiver, has got a high ankle sprain. High ankle sprain being a wide receiver, not something you want. So that'll hurt Kansas City. I like the Chiefs to win the game, though.
Seriously?
I think the Chiefs, yes.
Rolling a little bit? Or is it just actual X's and O's?
I mean, they've
thing.
Won 11 in a row.
Okay.
New England has lost 4 of 6. They're banged up. Julian Edelman's back, but it's back after missing 7 straight games. And again, I think the Chiefs are gonna be all over Brady, and Brady his options are minimal. Now, if Gronk goes wild, New England will win, but I don't think he will.
Gronk missed 2 days of practice with a knee injury, as you mentioned. That game's at 3:35 today in New England. Patriots favored by 5. The night game. Packers at Arizona. We all remember Week 16, the glorious destruction of the Packers by the Cardinals. I think that everyone's sort of moved on from that, especially seeing the way Arizona got dismantled by Seattle in the final game of the season, right?
Yep.
Rodgers talked about after their win last week on how important the win was.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, for Green Bay, it's been a confidence thing. Because you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you're automatically pretty much a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. So we saw them go in this slump for a large majority of the season. And I continue to call it a slump because I didn't think they were as bad as they were showing. They have some glaring weaknesses. They have a weak offensive line. Rodgers doesn't have many targets to throw to. They're going to this game with 4 receivers and 3 tight ends. But I can never bet against Aaron Rodgers, and I think last week did a lot for this team.
So you're saying Green Bay's going to win?
I wouldn't be surprised. If we're going to do picks here, I'll take Green Bay.
7-point underdog on the road. They did have an impressive second half last week against the Redskins. But Carson Palmer's never won a playoff game either.
It's true.
Third shot at it.
How many games has he played in, though?
This is number 3, so it's not exactly like he's played it.
And the one game, he blew out his knee and he didn't even play the whole game.
Right. He didn't even play a quarter.
So it's not like it's some...
Right. It's unfair. But it's just a stat worth throwing out there. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl MVP. Carson Palmer hasn't won a playoff game. How do you pick?
It'll be a good game, I think.
I like Arizona by a lot.
But I think the game of the week, and I think all of us can agree on this, Seattle, Carolina, Sunday at noon, kicking things off.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that's not the Sunday night game.
Well, there is no Sunday night.
I know. Why wouldn't they roll that thing on Sunday night, which is the new Monday night?
I'm fine with it, Carm. I live the early to bed life doing the morning show, so the earlier the games, the better for me.
No, well, I'm glad that it works for you, and,
yes,
and it's fine for me, too.
You're going to watch it either way. It's a difference. The game kicks off at noon in Carolina. The Panthers, a 15-1 regular season, best offense in the league, average over 30 points a game.
Won at Seattle earlier in the year. Of course, the St. Louis Rams won at Seattle, too.
Seattle dodged a bullet last week in Minnesota.
Should have lost. Blair Walsh laces in.
And who's back?
Who's back for Seattle?
Beast mode.
Is he playing for sure?
He's going to play.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
He needs 83 yards to become just the seventh player in NFL history with 1,000 yards rushing in the postseason. Just seven players. You know how much he means to that team.
Skittles is back, and Seattle beat Carolina in the playoffs last year in the same divisional round. Mm-hmm. Nobody has given the Panthers respect, though. Literally,
no, they haven't.
All season long.
I don't
long.
Think I've given them respect.
No one really has. And so I'm picking Cam to get it done, even though the line tells me that everyone's putting their money on Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 points in Carolina, and it's a 15-1 team right. against a 10-6 team.
Always fade the public. I like the Panthers. I like them by a lot.
I like the over in that game, by the way, 44. The 340 game is Pittsburgh at Denver. I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh's entire team is injured, including Antonio Brown, one of the best receivers in the game. He'll be out after taking the cheap shot last week at Cincinnati.
Yeah, Pittsburgh beat the Broncos when they played in Week 15. That game was in Pittsburgh. Of course, this game will be in Denver. And you throw in Antonio Brown not playing in that game, which Pittsburgh won by a touchdown. He had 16 catches for, I think, 189 yards, just shy of the old 200 mark. That guy not playing. Ben Roethlisberger's got sprained ligaments in his shoulder.
He's all banged up.
Yeah,
but isn't he always hurt and he plays through it? But you know what? Last week, I'm watching the game, and they put in who's his backup for the second to last drive. Throws a pick.
How's that name?
Slip in my mind. Anyways, Roethlisberger sits out that drive. They throw a pick, turn it over, and then they get lucky. They get the ball back. They have one last drive, and he comes back in the game. I go, where were you, dude? Was he like, this is just my last prayer? And he drives him down, and they win.
And the other part of it, the guy could throw the ball 5 yards. The Bengals didn't alter their defense enough to, you know, they were still given a little bit of room where. Roethlisberger looked like he was a sixth grade quarterback, really, with the arm strength.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the personal
fouls too.
Yes, I like Denver. I do. 9 points. That's like screaming, trying to get people to put money on Pittsburgh. I always try to fade the public. And you look at that game too. It's like your quarterback is compromised. Your best receiver is out.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning coming back off the bench against the Chargers looked capable.
Had a day off. A week off.
It's been off for 2 weeks. I like Denver.
Well, since we're on sports, really.
Biggest game. You didn't mention the biggest game of the day tomorrow, though.
What?
Northwestern and Penn State, 7:30, Welsh Ryan, 7:15 pregame right here on 720 WGN. Cats trying to get to 4-2 in the conference as they march towards the NCAA tournament for the first time in their history.
Go Cats.
Thank you.
We should mention Patrick Kane just destroying opponent defenses. Had a hat trick last night in the Hawks 4-1 win on National Hat Day. Did you know it was National Hat Day yesterday, Kyle?
I did not know that.
Neither did I. But it was National Hat Day. Patrick Kane, 3 goals. First career regular season hat trick.
Isn't that surprising? That is surprising.
He got 2 in the postseason, but none in the regular season.
That is surprising.
Last night. Hawks 10 in a row. They go for 11 in a row on Sunday when they take on Montreal.
How about... When's the last team that went back-to-back? Was it 97, 98?
The Red Wings, right?
I think that's it. You're the hockey guy in the show. Regardless, the Blackhawks, you know, with everything that happened in the offseason from Brandon Saad, and we don't have to list every single name that left, Patrick Sharp, the whole deal.
And so what's Saad doing? See the numbers?
He's on the fourth line
done
in Columbus.
Nothing.
Right.
I guess it helps to play with guys like Kane and Taves and Sharp.
It does. It absolutely does. And, I mean, you're talking about Panarin, the bread man, the rookie, coming in here, playing with those guys and looking like he's going to be in the hockey. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. It's unbelievable how they've rebuilt the team is the point I'm getting at. And nobody thought that the Blackhawks were going to be a real contender for another Stanley Cup this year. But the bottom line is it's very clear that they are.
What I've said about Patrick Kane and his career and everything the Hawks do seems to strike gold. Everything they do.
It's like
thank you, Carmen. And they get Patrick Kane on the team. Patrick Kane will take a common casual hockey fan, right? Because even if you're a diehard Blackhawks fan, you may not be a huge hockey fan, right? You know what I mean?
Of course.
People just love the Hawks. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Root for the Blackhawks. They're an awesome team. Everything's great about them. But you can take, and this is why he's so compelling to watch, you can take a casual hockey fan. Guy who goes, yeah, I like the Hawks. I'll watch a game here or there. But you put him down in front of a TV,
he will be able to spot Patrick Kane the second 88's on the ice, not because of his number, but by his style of play. He is flashy. He's got the charisma. He's fun to watch on the ice. And now when you've matched him with Panarin, remember everybody was calling Panarin the Russian Kane? And he's starting to prove that, right? I mean, he's making unbelievable passes. That line has just been incredible.
It has.
Fun to watch. Kane is tearing it up. He leads the league in points, I believe, right now.
In everything.
Yeah. So congrats to Patrick Kane on National Hat Day getting the hat trick.
Did he have a bad offseason? Do you remember anything about that? It's out, right?
Just put it to rest, man.
How much is that in the rearview mirror?
Mm-hmm.
One more sports thing before we take our final timeout.
You going Bulls here?
Now we got two.
All right.
Well, quick thing on the Bulls. Joakim Noah, if you missed it, he separated his shoulder, dislocated his shoulder, whatever, however you want to call it. And
last game is a Bull Karam if you're a betting man.
I'm going to say yes. I think you need surgery.
But Kevin Love recovered from that same surgery in 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months.
So we're talking May. That's already playoff time.
It's over. We're in the middle of January.
Yeah.
February, March, April. It doesn't look like he's going to make it back this year, and then he's a free agent, and I don't think he fits with what Fred Hoiberg's doing.
No.
So, and Joakim Noah, maybe he'll make it back here someday when he fits back in, because he should retire a Bull. The guy has been phenomenal for the city as far as in the community and trying to...
Oh, love the guy.
I mean, he's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's not the way... If that is the case, it's too bad. It should absolutely not end that way. But if you missed the Bulls game last night and didn't see the highlight of Noah blowing out the shoulder, check it out if you like to see gruesome things, because that was pretty violent. But what I was going to say, before that, I was flipping around the dial, and I stopped on the Cubs convention. And Pat Hughes is at the mic, and he's introducing all the old-timers that are at the convention this weekend. And there's some phenomenal names. Kerry Wood and Ryan Sandberg and Billy Williams, all that. But they also are screaming out to Cub fans, a lefty reliever, Scott Ayer, a righty from 1985, Tim Stoddard. I mean, they listed some of those random dudes.
Why? You were telling me this earlier. I don't get it. They were just bringing everyone that's ever played for the Cubs back?
Pretty much. Guys that did absolutely nothing.
Glenn Allen Hill? Was there a
Glenn Allen Hill
sighting?
Was not there, but Jay Johnstone was.
Mickey Morandini, Nick DiGilio's favorite baseball player?
Mickey Morandini, no, but from that team, John Lieber was. John Lieber!
And just getting the crowd fired up.
And they're all going nuts. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
The closest I got to the Cubs convention was Giordano's dropping off pizzas this morning on the Steve Cochran show with a Cubs logo sprinkled onto the top of the pizza with the Cubs logo.
That's a nice job.
It's a delicious breakfast.
All right, last time out, 720 WGN.